Good morning to everyone! Howdy! Well, today is the second day of Holy Week. Yesterday we had the Sunday of Palms. And today we read the first reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. And this is one of the songs, and there are four songs regarding this suffering servant in the book of Isaiah. And this particular one assigned for this morning's first reading is the third one. Nobody knew at that time who exactly was this servant, fully dedicated to God, fully obedient, and thus he suffered. I remember the mother of Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei. She would observe about his son, Saint Jose Maria, that since he was very good and wanted to be good, to be close to God and to be holy, he was destined to suffer a lot. And that was what happened to him in his life. He was a man of great suffering. God made his instrument like a plow, you know. A plow that plows through the soil, through the rocks, to make a furrow. To my mind, there flashes this great machine that bores a hole in the ground, underground, for the subway system. It's like a caterpillar of some sort that eats its way through a foliage of leaves, making a hole, a tunnel. Well, it hits all kinds of obstacles. I liken it, well, it's like the boring pin, so to speak, of a drilling rig for oil. So they dig so deep into the soil, into the ground. And who could tell? Well, the geologists could tell what kind of rocks there would be there. And there are diamonds, I imagine, at the tip of these bores. Because they're so hard, one of the hardest substances on earth, well, it could scratch practically anything. And nothing would be able to scratch it because it's hardest. And if there could be a harder stone or material than diamond, then that would be used. And even diamonds would have to give way. Well, this servant suffered a lot. Was like a lightning rod that attracted all these lightning bolts from the sky, absorbing all kinds of electrical power and electrical current. Well, only from the perspective of the New Testament do we know that this suffering servant referred to Jesus Christ primarily, because he suffered a great deal, and it's uncanny. We read the other day about the description of his suffering. He was like flint, you know, this stone that we use in our lighters. We strike it so that it produces a spark. That is the reason why it is there. It is to be struck, because we would need fire or a flame or something to cook, or to smoke a cigarette or to light something, a candle, so there be light in a power outage, etc. Well, we have here the third song. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have endowed him with my spirit, that he may bring true justice to the nations. So this servant is he who brings true justice to the people. If I remember my theology and my philosophy right, justice is the virtue that governs giving what is due to another. If you work for me and our contract stipulates that your 8-hour work would be remunerated by or with, let's say, $80, US dollars. And when you execute your part of the deal, I have the obligation to give you that $80. That's by justice. That's fair. When there is a fight, well, I just recently watched a fight in Facebook of an American champion. It did not state what weight division, but he was up against a taller Filipino. That's why it got my interest, and the Filipino won. I think his name was Mark something. I don't remember. Well, he was, I think, he outclassed the shorter American. Anyway, by justice, they agree on the fight conditions. It should be fair. So they have to know what the gloves are. They know have to know that, and they are examined, knowing that they don't use any metal rods or any other. Should be just their fists wrapped, and then they use gloves. And the weight, they're more or less of the same weight, within the same weight division. So it's fair. And so on and so forth. Otherwise, it would be unfair. It would be unjust. It would not be a real fight. It would be like a street fight with no rules, where there are no rules. But this servant brought true justice to the nations. Justice because these peoples would pay a price, because they have to pay that price, which is due to somebody. And that somebody also honors that agreement. And in exchange for their payment, he gives them what they paid for. Right? So, he does not cry out or shout aloud or make his voice heard in the streets. He does not break the crushed reed nor quench the wavering flame. That's not his business. He's not into that. He focuses on a simple thing. Faithfully, he brings true justice. He will neither waver nor be crushed until true justice is established on earth, for the islands are awaiting his law. So we intuit here the justice because of a law. So when there is a law that is given by the lawgiver, and in this case, it should be God, because he is the supreme being and creator, then he gives the law, and we, the creatures, are obliged to follow the law. When we do, we're honoring the deal. Since we are creatures and he is the creator, so we are part of his empire, so to speak, because we follow his law. Just like an employee, if he follows the culture and the rules of a company, well, he can stay. He was employed. There is no reason to lay him off or to fire him or to expel him, right? But if he does, there is this violation of some law, and therefore, by justice, he has to be given the penalty. So the people will be brought to true justice. They will be made to pay what they're supposed to pay, and what is they have to give, what is due to the other, who is God. If they offended God, then they must suffer for it. They must be punished for it. And this servant took up all that punishment for all of us. That's why we attain justice, and we have to be very grateful that Jesus Christ did it for us, right? He suffered and died on the cross. So from our perspective, from the New Testament's perspective, we understand this thing very well. Faithfully, he brings true justice. He will neither waver nor be crushed until true justice is established on earth, for the islands are awaiting his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and spread them out, who gave shape to the earth and what comes from it, who gave breath to its people and the life to the creatures that move in it. You see, that's what God did to the creatures. So the creatures, in return, should follow His laws, because they are creatures of His. I, the Lord, have called you to serve the cause of right. I have taken you by the hand and formed you. I have appointed you as covenant of the people and light of the nations. This is His justice. And we should also honor our end of the contract, of the agreement. And since we offended God, Holy Week is about this, the payment to re-establish justice between God and us. I remember this movie, Apocalypto, which was very violent. And, they were sacrificing human lives at the top of this pyramid-like structure, which was their altar. And they were offering it to God, to appease God. That is justice. We all have an inherent instinct for justice. We cry foul when there is injustice. And we are cowards when we don't answer justly. We don't pay what we're supposed to pay. And if we do not also get what we have a right to, then we are not living justice. We are just plain lazy or cowards. That's why we will see Jesus bravely, courageously face the requirements of justice. He gives up His life for us. We should be very grateful. And then when we offend God by justice, we have to be sorry. We have to do penance. Jesus has paid already for our sins. That's correct. But we need to apply that to ourselves. Jesus has done His part. We need to follow Him, because that's what we are, Christians, followers of Christ. We contribute our share. Since we have offended God personally, we need to contribute our share of fixing up, mending things that we have broken. Thank you for listening, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain forever. Amen. Ciao!